Yeah.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Here we are now. Look, Mick, I'll tell you what has... And Don, hello.
Oh, you're smiling this morning.
What happened?
Well, it's irrelevant
did
whether
you see
I'm
someone
smiling.
No, on the road, did
it's
you?
It's irrelevant whether I'm smiling.
No, no, or some not days you're in
no
a good
mood. No one can see it. This is an audio thing, not a visual thing, so it
doesn't
We've
got
matter.
To put up with your moods.
I tell you, with
and you're
those
worse than a woman.
With those headphones on...
What? No, you said that's you... Can stand by that statement.
That's correct.
Unilaterally.
That's
what do you mean?
You're worse than a woman. You
that's
can't
right.
say that.
Why no. not? It's true.
Because this is the woke world we live
I've
in.
I've got horses, and you put a mare in with a gelding who sends the dynamic everywhere.
And we've got a woman here who's celebrating her 60th birthday, Donald.
Happy birthday,
young Jane Jacinta.
Yes.
Now, Don.
Yes, Johnny.
I know this is not a visual medium, but if ever you look. With those headphones over the top of your head, look like RoboCop. You does he look like RoboCop today? Look at that, because it looks like half his cranium's missing because they got mechanical shit in the back of it, because that's what RoboCop is. Now, Mick, I want to tell you this. Listen to this.
What are you on?
Well, yeah, exactly. we've had enormous response to come and dine with you, me, you, that's you, Mick, yeah. and Don, at where?
At the Lobster
at
Cave.
At the Cave. Yes. Just that's we can just shorten it to the Cave. You know how Madonna just has one name? Yeah. Madonna. And Elvis was just Elvis. Sheehan. It's now the... Who? Sheehan. Yeah, it's just Sheehan. It's now the Cave. You don't have to put the Lobster. The Lobster's redundant.
Right,
although their Lobsters aren't redundant, Mick. They're magnificent.
They are.
So if you want to join the competition to come and eat with you, me and Don... You go to the Instagram page, which has been set up specifically called Sam, Mike and Don, and you hit the link to enter the competition. And you know what you get if you go down there. And particularly as, listen to me, Mick, particularly as Valentine's Day is coming up.
What date is it, Sam?
Valentine's Day. That's Bill now ringing to say. Yeah. Did you hear him?
What date's Valentine's Day?
14? Is it? 15. What is it?
Good boy.
And I was going to say they got bugs there, but not the bugs that are coming from Wuhan in China. Bill has not got any seafood from China at all at the Cave, so you'll be fairly assured that you won't get coronavirus.
Fairly assured.
Fairly assured you won't get coronavirus at the Cave.
Oh, no, good boy.
So there we are. Okay. So did you pay attention how you
I
get
did.
Onto the competition?
Yep. Sam,
we'll repeat it.
Sam, Mike and Don.
On what?
On a special page.
On what page?
Podcast.
Why? I don't...
You
Instagram.
You ass hat. Instagram page, Sam, Mike and Don. Hit the link and enter the competition. And also get down there with... Take whoever you want.
Why are you advertising it when it's already full?
It's not full, Don. How could it be full? If it was full, 24 million people would have implied that's how many live in the country. So it's not full, let me tell you that.
Okay.
They're going to have a whole lot and then they're going to pick it out.
Right there.
So there we are. So yes. Is that all right?
Yes,
so that,
good. Yeah.
All right.
Come on, let's introduce a guest.
Well, I'm going to defer to you, Mick,
you are,
because
yeah?
I'm going to tell you who we've got, or would you like to do the whole thing?
Well, I'm in your hands. It's your show.
Right,
we'll
get on with it.
Well, our guest today, Sammy, is the youngest man that's occupied the guest seat, I would suspect. And his name is Dylan Buckley, and his podcast is Dill and Friends. And he with some lessons here for us.
Oh, let us be the
well,
judge
he actually,
of that, Mick,
his
please.
Podcast beat us more than once.
Oh, really?
And every time I talk to a footballer, a current footballer, they all say they listen to Dylan Friends.
Yeah, do anyone who wants to know about world affairs and how the country's going listen to Dylan, or just people on football?
Oh, we're good on world affairs.
Well,
aren't we?
We do different stuff, and I'm not downgrading the great man because you've got him in, and he looks a very, very sharp unit, to be honest, Mick. But don't say Dylan's going to blow us out of the water with talking about things that don't concern him.
Our average age is 77.
That's absolutely. You fancy running down the forum that you're on. That is
I'm not running down
nonsense.
The forum.
I have more people out on the street, the great unwashed that walk around there, you know, that live in the international house of salt and pepper, that speak to us about, and they're very, very young
it's
people.
It's not a competition, John. Anyway, Dylan, welcome. As I said, you're the son of the former Carlton champion, Jimmy Buckley, and you're an entity, you're an identity in your own right. Are you working at 3AW now?
Yeah. Firstly, thanks so much for having me on. That was easily the weirdest introduction I've ever had.
Of course, no, Dylan, I'm glad you said that, mate, because I've been doing the introductions. This is the first time he's done an introduction. For you to say that's the weirdest introduction proves why I do it every week.
Back to Sam. Yes, I am.
Righto, Dylan. I'm your conduit here, boy.
Thanks for having me on the show. Obviously heard fantastic things.
About us?
About the show, about you guys. Yeah, massive.
Don't piss in our pockets.
Massive fan. Obviously, I see the show a fair bit when I'm scrolling down the charts past my podcast.
Good
at the top. But,
you're your old man's son.
I am working at 3AW at the moment. Obviously, just finished up my AFL career and, loving it.
Yeah, 40-odd games with
41
Blues.
Settled.
Yeah, and two with GWS.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the system spat you out.
It did. Yeah, it did. Twice, actually.
How'd you cope with that?
No, it's an interesting topic. I think when I left Carlton, that was the real wake-up call. 6 years there, didn't do one bit of study outside of footy. Pretty much just lived the lifestyle of an AFL player, but I wasn't really playing many games. So when I first left there, it was a massive wake up call. I had a mortgage, had a fiance, and had no skills.
Sorry, Don.
No, that's exactly what. That's great that he brought that up because I spoke to an ex player such as yourself. He's lucky enough that he's academically inclined and he was able to study. He's now got his own physiotherapy thing, but he is dead against full time football. Because of this reason that the people don't come out rounded.
Well, I think in your case, Dylan, I think the problem from the outside looking at you was that you were the son of a famous footballer at the same footy club, and I just guess that you presumed it was just automatic. You'd go to Carlton and you'd be a success and you'd play 10 or 12 years there.
That's exactly what I thought. I think when I rocked up... Oh, no, I didn't. Six years.
You wouldn't have thought that.
No, well, I really...
You thought well, Mick,
let him
the,
answer that.
No, well, I honestly did. Like,
well,
when
you did
I,
think that.
I'm backing him up. Yeah. You're not telling me, Dylan, that you thought you'd just walk into playing AFL football because you're the son of Jim Buckley,
not,
did you?
Not because I was a son, but I think that when you're young, you have that positive mindset. You just think it's going to happen.
Wow.
You were pretty good at when you were young.
No, I was very talented. Like, I was in the Australian teams. I was a high, you know, pick. I thought that it was just going to happen. And especially being at that age, like my first 2 years, I spoke to you, Mike, about this in the past, but... My first 2 years, I just let them go by and just sort of thought that it was going to happen, and it didn't. And
you
it took
thought
a while
you were entitled to
it. Well, I did. No, I definitely did.
What do you mean, so there?
Well, that's exactly the premise I put to him.
Dylan, did you play 42 games?
41.
And none, and you played for two clubs?
39 at Carlton and then two at Giants.
God, I've got you played 82 games here.
That we can go with that. That's fine.
That's extraordinary. and I presume that you're here today to show that even if you don't succeed in a vocation, being the son of a former champion, that you've made a niche for yourself and you're out there and you're very successful. I'm told by this man here, Mike Sheehan, and you're going to tell us how people who just might get a bit depressed and wonder what happens after life after football, how you just got to go for it and instead of lying in the gutter and looking at the stars, you want to look at them and think, I'll be one.
Yeah, no, you summed
that's
it
not
up.
Bad. Not,
episode
not bad.
Finished. But, that's pretty much it, to be honest. Like,
well, go on.
Well, what we're saying before, pretty much I, you know, when I left Carlton, I was in a mind of my own, and I think that I was...
Were you demoralised?
I wasn't, no, because I was, to be honest, I really wanted to finish playing footy. Like, I was just mentally, I'd lost my passion for it. I didn't want to play at
why
all.
Did you lose your passion?
Dylan, how old were you when you lost your passion for it?
I would have been 24.
Holy mackerel.
Why? Yeah, I've never been someone that loved playing footy, though. It's hard to...
Really?
Yeah, I played because I was good at it. I think that that's what you do when you're young. You do something that you're drawn to.
That's almost a contradiction in terms. Why would you be good at something if you don't like doing it?
You're good at you like something because you're good at doing it.
Yes.
So that's why I played footy.
You can be good at it and not have a passion for it.
I definitely had a passion for it, but it was never...
I'm not... Dispute. I'm taking issue with that. I'm not saying you're wrong, because it's an opinion.
I think it's in my view, it's clear you can actually have an aptitude for something and not necessarily. No, be
you
passionate
didn't say
about
have
it.
An aptitude. You can be good at something but not actually embrace it.
I absolutely loved playing footy. Absolutely loved it. But what I'm trying to probably say is it wasn't my be all and end all. I had other interests, that things that I'd always wanted to do. It wasn't like
at 24.
Yeah. Well, as a human, I think. Like I.
Well, didn't you at 24?
No, this is why I find this fascinating. Well, I was absolutely paranoid. Yeah, but I was single-minded about playing league
but
football.
But that's probably why, I think that, to be honest, and that's a good point, like I think one of the reasons why my career didn't go as well as it did was because my mind wasn't 100% on making it. Like,
yes.
I had 4 one-year deals. So there was two ways you could take that. It was either I signed a one-year deal and I said, I'm going to throw absolutely everything at this and I could leave again and have nothing. Or I could really try and better myself and work out what I love outside of footy and try and become a more well-rounded person and then leave the game with something to go to rather than the fear of failure of just failing
so
and then not
Mick
having anything.
Keeps telling us we're all just about, you know, we're just about to go down to Tobin Brothers and knock on the counter and say, shop. But so what as a mentor at a young lad like you are, and we can say that you're a young lad, as a mentor, what would you say to people who have talent but don't want to really embrace it? And what would your message be to people like you or millennials in this world?
I think that like if you're talking about footy and talking about young guys these
I'm
days.
Talking about you.
About life. Just, okay. Well, you think about your caper.
You said you had other things you're interested in.
I think that.
At that age.
I think that in my experience, and the best way that I got out of it was you have to go 100% into something. Okay. You have to love what you're doing and go for it. But I think that if you put all your eggs in one basket, that is a reason for sometimes if that's not going the way you want it to go, then it stuffs up everything else. So my view was if I can have some other things going on, like if I'm playing footy and I get injured, well then what am I going to do for that 8 weeks?
No, fair enough. Now, Dylan, I've not met you before, so I'm not being deliberately argumentative or I'm
you
just
are. That's normal.
I am not doing that, Dylan, please. But if you say you don't put your heart into it, even though you're good at it, and it doesn't go your way. Well, it's not likely to go your way if you don't put your heart into it. That's the contradiction in terms, isn't it, or not?
Oh, I don't think I said I didn't put my
heart
into it.
I don't think you said that.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say put his heart into it?
He didn't say that he didn't put his heart into it.
I wouldn't have lasted 8 years if I didn't put my heart into playing footy.
Well, I withdraw that, Dylan. Yeah. I was under the impression you said you were ambivalent about you had talent.
I think you might have got the wrong idea with what I'm saying, and maybe that was my fault. But I didn't rock up to a club and think, "Hey, I'm just going to take the club for a ride, not have fun, and not enjoy it." I was more saying, while I was there, I'm going to play footy to the best I can. But if I'm not getting picked for selection and I'm injured or things aren't going my way, I want to have something else to escape and put my energy into something else because footy doesn't last forever. Like you played 300 games, yeah? Yeah. How many seasons was that?
18.
18 seasons. Mm-hmm. How many years have you been outside of the system now?
Oh, 100.
So you're not going to play footy for your whole life. That's what my upbringing was. And I think that the reason that this sort of mentality comes back to me was my dad, Jim Buckley, played in 3 flags, you know, was a great player.
But
one thing he never did well was his transition out of footy. So one thing that was always drilled into me was footy, you know, it can be in an incredible role.
Who was it drilled into you?
Dad.
So Jimmy said that. He saw that he'd wasted opportunities.
Well, he just said to me, you know, like while you're in the system, you've got to make sure that you know you've got passions outside of it. And you've got something to go to, and you've got this.
But Dylan, of course, I had a job and ran a business. The whole time I played football, I finished when I was 36.
Yeah.
And you're not telling. So I wasn't a professional footballer in that it was my only job.
No, and that's not that, maybe that's why you went so well, because you had that balance.
Well, probably, and you're not saying your dad, Jim, he had a job, didn't he, while he was playing football?
He did, but I don't. He'd probably be the first to say that it was, you know, a job that was probably given to the club by the club, and it's sort of a bit of a
no. Fair enough.
Yeah.
No,
Dylan, did you give yourself a chance to be a good league footballer?
Definitely. I think that
you were
my first. I was probably explaining my first 2 years. I didn't know what it took. I was an 18-year-old, and I had no idea how hard you needed to work. But after that, I definitely pulled my finger out and worked hard. I had a really open conversation that I spoke to Mike about with Heath Scotland one day, and he pretty much said to me, who's one of my favourite people I've ever met in footy. He pulled me aside and said, "Mate, like, what are you doing? You've got something, an amazing opportunity here. We're fighting for the same position, and I don't feel threatened at all."
Yeah, I read your article in the Herald Sun based on the Scotland advice. A, it was a very good article, and B, it was good of Heath Scotland to sort of say, listen, this should be your spot. You need to work harder to get it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he did. We sat down and put in a plan, and from there, you know, I went to play some really good footy at Carlton after that, and definitely worked hard as I could to cement myself in a position. But in saying that, like, you know, was I not good enough? Maybe that was what it was.
Do you think that's the case?
Oh, I think that, like, you're never going to say you weren't good enough, because I think I was. But did things go my way? I don't know. Like, could I have done any better? Probably, but I don't have any regrets, because I've learnt what I've learnt from that. Like, I'm going to take into my next adventure.
Donald?
Well, you're a bit of a joker around the club. I was wondering whether, if we cleared the desk here, whether you could give us a handstand in the nude.
Ah, wow.
Done his own work, Dylan.
Where'd you get that one from?
Dylan, I've got some pearls here, matey. We haven't started. So we'll just move this console and...
I'll leave those things to Sam, well, I think.
If you do a handstand in the nude, Dylan, you want to be careful you don't get choked by things that hang down off you.
Oh, it wouldn't reach that far.
Really? Why did you... I see, Don, thank you for bringing this up. Why did you do a handstand in the nude?
I was, you know, my favourite thing about being at a footy club, and the thing I missed the most today was a locker room. Having fun, being with the guys, and I'd just do anything for a laugh. So
I'm impressed that you could do a handstand. I've tried to do a handstand.
You'd be counterbalanced.
One thing I actually wanted to do is stand on my hands. It's very difficult to do.
Hmm.
But you ever tried to stand on your hands?
I have.
I bet you've never succeeded.
I could do it on one hand.
Oh, Mickey.
I did. A couple of times.
I've got a feeling I know where the other hand is. Yeah. Pulling your snag.
Oh, righto. Righto.
So you loved... now, Dylan, I'm fascinated by this, because, believe it or not, I've got great respect for you in the 10 minutes I've known you.
Thank you.
And you're a successful young man going places. But you said before that you felt you're entitled... when you got into the game. These are your words, because I've written them down. You didn't give it your all, and you said you probably...
I don't think I said I didn't give it my all.
And you said you probably could have done better. And you're wondering why you didn't succeed
doing
being a talented footballer at 24 that you didn't make it. Well, that's why you didn't make it.
Yeah, it could be, but you know, I had some fun while I was there. That's for sure. It was good fun.
These are the fun business. These two would say it's not a fun business.
Yeah, and you know what? Their careers speak for themselves, and it's incredible. They've both done. They've done.
Yeah, but these guys like Dylan are important around a footy club, because it's not the guys that I've
got. Just window dressing, Dylan.
Mate, I've probably got 4 years. A lot of my re-signings were not just my playing ability. Like, I know that I brought more to a club than just that. And I think that my 2 years at the Giants were probably the best 2 years of my career. I only played 2 games and I was injured a lot. And I would have loved to play more footy there. But the things that I think that I improved in culturally off field were bigger things some of the best things I've done.
Exactly right. And these guys are the guys that gel. It's not the names in the club, because they're... you know, socially introverted.
Did you ever do a handstand in the nude, Don?
No, I didn't, but I did talk to my teammates. Why didn't you? Hang on.
When?
Just hang on. I'm going to ask Dylan.
I love the research.
Yeah. Now, listen, Simon White, you didn't speak to him for 12 months. Are you speaking to him now, and why didn't you speak to him?
Oh, well.
And who is he?
I need to find out who stitched me up here. But basically, Simon White was a player at Carlton.
Yeah,
one
I knew that.
My very
that.
Good mates. Yeah. And
he's like a good mate. You didn't speak to him.
Yeah, well, he was like a brother to me, and then he literally was a brother to me. And basically, yeah, well, we were in the car one day and we'd just gone out for lunch and he pulled me. I knew something was up. I can read body language a little bit. I sort of know what he was, what was happening.
Was he a bit edgy?
He was a bit edgy and he's normally not. Okay. And he said, oh, I need to ask you something. I was like, oh, yeah, what is it? He goes, oh, I want to ask if I can take your sister out on a date. And there's probably 30 seconds of silence. And I said, no, you can't. And he goes, what? I was like, nah, I don't approve. And I just got out of the car, and that was probably the last time we spoke for about...
So that was serious. You said you didn't want him to take your sister out.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just knew him, and I knew...
He was just out for the ride, so to speak.
No, not like I knew that he had good intentions because I knew that if he asked me before it had happened, you know, I knew what was happening. But I just didn't, you know what footy clubs are like. You've been there and you know what goes on. And to have one of my best mates
tell me what goes
dating,
on.
Dating my sister wasn't the most comfortable sort
did
of
thing.
Did
you ever think it might be up to your sister?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
she might actually like the lad.
No, well, yeah, the funny thing is that I did go home and I approached her and said, you know, what's going on
what
here?
What the hell are you doing?
And she sort of had no idea that he had even asked me that. So I thought, there's a tick. Yeah, there's a little bit of respect. And I said, well, look, I'm just going to let them play out, let them do their thing. I didn't really speak to them both for, you know, a good time.
12 months. So well, it was over a 12 while. Months.
But Dylan, why...
And that's quite hard to do. Avoid someone in a locker room for that long is not easy.
But why would you not speak to someone who said, I'd like to take your sister out? What do you think?
I was just really... I was a protective brother,
He's
I think.
He's not the Boston Strangler, is
no,
he?
No, no. No, he's not. And I think that I was...
Haven't you got a sister, Michael?
No, as a... No, I don't, Don.
And I wouldn't let my daughter go out with a footballer.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No. You'd let your daughter go out with who she wants to go out with. Surely, man.
I'm like Dylan.
Dylan. Say you're... I'm not saying you do have this opinion of that man. What's his name?
Simon White.
Simon White. Yeah.
But just say Simon was a bon vivant out there and just nailing down everything that had a heart and lungs and that, and suddenly
like Johnny Newman
suddenly had designs on your sister. Surely you would say, "Hey, sis, I know this man well.
Sis.
I know this man well. Just let me just be wary." And but it's up to you. It's your life. And she said, "Thank you very much, Dylan. I appreciate the advice. So leave it with me." Surely that's the way to go.
Well, you know, looking back,
not speaking to someone for a year
As you said your words earlier, I was entitled and didn't work hard and whatnot. But basically, back then, I would have probably approached it a little bit differently. Yes. And I think I've learned from that.
Well, good on you, anyhow. So you're speaking
to Simon yet? Yeah.
We are. They were dating for 5 years. So, look, it was worth it at the
time. They
did
date for 5 years,
yeah,
did they?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did it break up? Did he move on?
No, they just went their separate ways. And
We know that only too well, Dylan.
You didn't speak to him for 12 months. And then when they went out with each other, what was you...
No, it was great. Fantastic. I was wrapped. Because the proof was in the pudding. I just didn't want it to be a fling for 2 months and then... I just didn't want it to be a fling and then nothing happened and
it carries
on. You just
didn't want your sister to be a notch on
you. Yeah, exactly. I wanted it to be a thing. Simon? But then once I realised that the intentions are there, it was a good thing. You know, they lived together for a long time. It was great.
Now, this is a little bit deeper, this question.
That was pretty deep.
No. Are you able to gauge the culture, that buzzword, culture of clubs by being in it and Carlton and the Giants... I know you haven't been to any other clubs, but I presume they weren't too successful when you were there, not because you were there, but can you gauge why they weren't successful? Or was it just a ramshackle organisation that was every man for himself?
It's a great question. It's one that I still battle with today because I don't think there is an answer for it. My theory on footy is momentum. So it just depends when you hit it and when you do, what you do with it. And I think you just got to hit it at the right time of the year. But obviously you got to do your work early. In terms of culture, I've been to two clubs. One of them, the standards were world class. Weigh in. You're 15 minutes early to everything. You have meetings for this, meetings for that. You weigh in here. You do massage. You do this. The other one.
Are we going to guess which club
that is? GWS. Yeah.
You rock up.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? I was going to say the other.
No.
Really?
Yeah, that's extraordinary, isn't it? I wonder Carlton are going.
Let him finish you too.
The other
rude.
One, you rock up. You play cricket. It's, you know, very professional, but everyone's got a bit of an understanding of how you do it. Sam was right. The first club was Carlton.
The first club was Carlton.
And the second club at Giants was very professional.
So the standards were better at Carlton?
And the reason why the standards are high, when you lose every week,
Jeez.
when you lose every week,
GWS, Dylan.
Yeah, well, no, but when you lose every week, the microphone, the microscope's on your club, so you're looking at everything. Like after every review, you go, well, geez, it wasn't this. What else can it be? What else can it be? So you're always searching for something else to lift the standard on. Do you know what I mean? And when you're winning, and things are going well, things don't matter as much because things are going well on field.
And in fairness, Mick, you seem surprised at that, but
I am very.
No, but in fairness, Carlton have had 100 years of culture, if you like, and probably know how it should work. And the Giants have had about a year of it, or basically speaking, you know, just a handful of years, and don't know really. Just they're just a hybrid of people brought together and don't know really what culture is.
No, but okay. Oh, the Giants has got the best culture I've ever seen, hands down. They're incredible.
Okay, so okay, can isn't I that ask a contradiction? You?
Yep.
Isn't that what? A contradiction?
But who's to say that being – like, I think that the reason we struggled so much at Carlton was because we were so brain-effed.
So regimented.
You couldn't even do anything. Okay. It was just so –
But I was going to say brainwashed. You were going to say brain-fucked.
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, but that
but pretty much.
No, but that's the difference between brainwashed and brain-fucked, I think.
You know, by the end of my time there, I was so paranoid that I was going to be late to a meeting or – you know, didn't weigh in that I'd Isn't that playing good? On the weekend was the last thing I really? Was thinking about.
That's amazing.
See, now, my view of Sydney, I thought they should have won the premiership years ago. Western Sydney, yep. So much talent, but absolutely no.
Greater West Sydney, don't
he's a smart ass. Oh, well, that's his name, Smart Ass Sam. They had so much talent that they didn't have any grunt in the team at all. They should have knocked off Footscray in a preliminary final. They've just missed out. But they showed nothing the following year. They should have, you know, from that, you'd think they'd come back harder the following year. They didn't. They finally made a grand final last year. Haven't got the talent that they had a couple of years ago. Where do you think they're going to go, Sydney? Greater Western Sydney, now that they haven't got the draft picks and the talent is not available as it was then.
And are you interested?
I am interested. I love Giants and Carlton. I do support them both, but my heart, I think the 2 years I had there at Giants was incredible. So and still my best mates are there. So for that question, yes, I am interested. 2016, I can't really comment because I wasn't there at that stage, but I think you're right. Like the talent was what probably got them to where they were and nearly got them a flag. At the moment, and I think that you guys would understand playing in successful teams, but you need role players. And I think that now that the Giants have got that top-end talent and they've got role players as well, they're a better team and they're more formidable than they were in 2016.
Yeah, but what about the young blokes coming through? They haven't got the talent that they had and they haven't got the opportunity to get the talent.
You'd be surprised. I think that the players at the Giants have still got are incredible. There's some guys that are playing there that no one even knows because they're in Sydney that are amazing players. Like
they come out of the local competition?
Well, they picked up Tom Green this year, who's from Wagga Wagga, I'm pretty sure. So he would have gone top. I think someone nominated him at pick 6 or 7 in the draft and they got him at 10 and they didn't even have that pick. So they, you know, they jump up in the draft now. They've got another guy, Lockie Ash, who's unbelievable. Is it pick 4? And they've got some other fantastic players that haven't even debuted yet on the list. So I don't think that their depth is a problem.
Talking about their players, the bloke who polarises more people in football than anyone is Toby Green. Tell us your view about Toby Green. A, his talent, and B, his attitude around the footy club.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm biased. Toby's one of my best mates. And, it's my favourite thing about Toby.
Why is he?
Well, he's what you want as a friend. Like, he's the most loyal bloke that, you know, you could ever ask for. A bit of a story that will sort of sum Toby up. Like, as we said before, I've got my podcast and... obviously, last year, that was, you know, when I was transitioning out of footy, I was trying to build that up as much as possible. And Toby got in trouble at the tribunal at the end of the year. And I went over to his joint and thought, look, I've got to go support him. He's going to be flat and help him out. And the first thing he said to me is, mate, you need to get me a T-shirt made up. I'm going to go to the airport next week. The cameras are going to be everywhere. So the first thing that he was thinking is potentially going to miss out on an AFL final and a grand final. And the first thing he was thinking about was how he can help out one of his friends.
So what was on his T-shirt?
So he wore the Dylan Friends T-shirt when he rocked up to the airport. He had it on and he was stretching it out in front of all the cameras. So I got some good clips on Channel 7 News of that. And, but basically he's the heart and soul of that club. And He's the most loyal bloke. And off the field, you wouldn't believe, he literally goes to a cafe, he reads a paper, and he drinks cups of tea. And that's what
Mike, what do you say he polarises people? I just think he's a good footballer. He's everything you want in a footballer.
Do you agree with my assessment?
Yeah. I think he's the first bloke you pick on your team.
No,
I don't know what by polarise you mean.
Way,
he splits.
He polarises people.
He's a footballer. The media or judging him, saying he's a polarising character.
He is, Donald. He's, a,
he's not.
He's not speaking ill of him. He's a polarising figure because he's an anti-hero to most of the people who watch him.
Dylan,
to his
agree?
Friends, he's a star.
Just by polarising, you mean he splits decisions?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously, Don. Yeah. Did you hear that?
I don't think he does anything on the ground that hasn't been done before.
Oh, really?
What?
Fingers around eyes?
Oh, like, well, who hasn't done that, Mick?
I haven't done that.
I have.
Yes. And I don't reckon Dylan has.
Well, that's his problem. And if you haven't done it, it's your problem.
And you've kicked people?
Yes, I've kicked them.
He's kicked them and scratched their eyes out.
No one do you like him?
This is a man who's about to be made a legend of the Hawthorn Football Club. He's kicked people and
scratched
their eyes out.
And then you spit at
them. Yeah, you do whatever you can to get an advantage.
You would be a good role model. And then you didn't talk to anyone.
And so you don't think you're a polarising figure, Donald?
No.
I
was just run-of-the-mill back in those days. You're a polarising.
Well, of course. That's probably, if you're going to vaguely separate yourself from the field, you're probably a polarising figure in a completely different way, Dylan. People look at you as not an anti-hero, a hero, because you're a young man on the up, and you've embraced the thing that we're doing at the minute, and... you've got a personality. I don't know why I'm saying this to you. I'm embarrassing myself bunking you up.
Thank you.
So when the football was over and you decided that football wasn't your vocation for whatever reason we've discussed, you then decided you get into this. You now are a producer on a radio show at the tender age of whatever you are, and the sky's the limit. Where is it going from here, and what are your idea? What is your aspiration from here?
Yeah, no, well, thank you, Sam, for that magnificent speech.
Go on.
I didn't choose to leave football. I got delisted twice. So in saying that, I got sacked twice. And for me now, like you said, I'm producing Radio 3AW. I've got my own podcast, Dylan Friends.
How? How did you do this? Did you just ring up were you cherry picked or what?
Yeah, oh, no, I wasn't cherry picked at all. So my last 2 years in Sydney, I worked once a week at Triple M. So I would go from training to work on a radio show there, which was Mark Geyer, who's pretty much like a Billy Brownless of AFL.
Yep.
So I did that. And
the rugby league player.
The rugby league player.
Oh, the big player.
Big guy, yeah. Absolute legend of a guy. And basically I used to joke around to the boys, you know, once we left training, I said, all right, training's finished, got to go to work now. And that was like my job for the week. And I just get my, you know, experience. Because I sort of knew that it wasn't going to last forever. So I've got to work out what it was. And that's what it was. I did that, and from the experience of doing that and having my podcast and networking, which is something that I've learned over the years.
Now you say did the podcast, so you decided, I tell you what I'll do, I'll get some microphones and a tape recorder and I'll get some people and I'll have a crack at this. Is that actually what we do? Is that what you thought?
Pretty much. Like when I said before, when I left Carlton, I had nothing. I got to the Giants and I said, I never want to be in that position again. So I said... if I'm here for 12 months, I'm going to start a podcast and have 10 episodes. So at least at the end of the year, I can go to someone and say, hey, look, I've done this. I've been proactive and I've got something to show for it. Whereas a podcast probably turned into something a bit bigger than that. Now it's really my full-time
thing. So what's the essence of it, Dylan? When you sit down and start your podcast, what's your intent?
Yeah, it's an intent. I think it's a word I love to use is escapism. We don't really talk about sport at all. I sit down with sports people, but I sit down with, you know, I want to sit down with this year artists and just personalities and hopefully get you guys on and just chat. And basically, a bit like what Don's done today, I just do my research. I get some stories in there.
That's unusual today, mate. You've caught him on a good day.
Yeah, that they might not ever know. And I just like to show the person, I like to normalise people that you love to show them what they're really like.
Well, I just like to go a little bit further because obviously very talented. Isn't a street art. Are you into street art?
I do. I love my street art.
Yeah, because you've decorated the Converses down there.
Oh, well, that's how they came, these ones. Oh, they're a collaboration. Comme des garçons.
Dylan, all the current players, the ones that I speak to, all say that they listen to you. Is that because you take them out of football and put them into other areas of their life?
Yeah, I think like the biggest compliment I can get about my show is when people say, "Wow, I really didn't like that person, but now I love them." And I think that I like to normalise footballers and athletes alike and just have fun with them, take it where they want to take it, talk about what they're passionate about. I love learning. I'm not really passionate about the things that they are, but I love learning and talking to them.
Why don't footballers of today, there's absolutely no personalities in the game at all. They're not.
That's not true.
It is true. How many of them utilise the media? Me as the general public would like to know, but they don't get their stories out in the paper. Why are they reticent in coming forward?
What is he on?
Don, who utilised...
Will you two shut
up? I'm asking you a question to back this up. Who in our era utilised the media?
You?
Oh, well, that's one, mate. Well, I didn't.
Well, we all did. Well. We had access to the media. The media had come after us and there was no embargo.
The media had only come out.
Whereas
after
now,
us,
I think there is.
You belted me or I belted you at the tribunal.
We used it for our business too, John. We used the media as well as them using us. Now, I get the feeling that the players of today, they're approached or they've got to go through a system that they go to the club. The club says, yes, no, we won't give him or whatever. But a lot of guys, we don't get to know what the guys are like.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think it's a lot of it would be to do with social media, I think, like the backlash of it. Like, I think one thing that I really struggled with early days with footy was people judging.
What are you two laughing at? We're trying to have a serious conversation, you idiot.
I've been listening to him. He said it was a good point. I thought, shit, Don, that's very good.
Don't swear.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, Don.
Breaking new ground.
That's a very good point. I'm putting that on the whiteboard. That's
Shut
the
up.
First time you've made a good point.
The public judging players on performance. So, like, one thing that I really struggled with when I was, you know, coming through and playing was if I played a good game, I was a good bloke. But if I played a bad game...
In whose eyes?
In the public eye.
That's human nature.
Human nature, exactly. So I think that's one thing that people struggle with is like getting judged on performance, and then that would just set them back into not really wanting to put themselves out there as much.
Did you have any demons when you were playing? You would have come into football, as you said, thinking that you were going to succeed at this. When that didn't happen, did you have any psychological issues?
Not to do with abuse or anything like that. I was pretty good. Like I never really copped much at all, like in terms of social media bullying or anything like that. But I probably didn't buy into it as much. I've always been a big believer on just being myself. I don't really care if you don't like me. I'm not really like political or anything, so I don't think that there's any chance.
But you're a likable kid. The other one I wanted to ask you before we forget.
Oh, thanks, Mick. You're
very
condescending.
Likeable kid.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Why is that condescending? It's a statement of fact. Anyway, I want to know how Jimmy,
Grandpa.
Jimmy, your father and the Carlton champion, and I've used champion in its true sense, how did he cope with your struggles and what was he like when his old club delisted you?
Yeah, that was probably, to be honest, that was the hardest part for me even, I think, as well, because like I said before, and I think some people find it hard to believe, I was ready to do something different. Like I was ready to move on, and it was a mutual thing. And that meeting, I'll never forget. It was with like me, Bolts, Stephen Silvani, and Neil Craig. And I went into the meeting, and we had the chat. And they're like, "Look, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Look, I'm not stupid. Like I've always been pretty self-aware. I knew what was going to happen." And I said, "Look, like I'm really like I can't thank you guys enough for the opportunity. I've absolutely loved every minute of it. It's been incredible. But like you know they." It was pretty, you know, they were saying there's no contract. I was saying thanks so much, I appreciate it. And, you know, I was sort of like crying when I was saying it, but I was so happy at the time thinking like...
Literally crying?
Yeah, we were both crying. So like Bolts was crying, I was crying.
Oh, come on.
And I know.
I can understand that.
It was, I'm only joking.
It is a bit weird, but like it did mean obviously a lot to me. And even Soss, who at that stage was...
Is he crying?
He wasn't, but we were chatting, and throughout that whole year, I loved Soss and really got along with him. But at that year, you can imagine that when things aren't going away for me, and I knew which way it was heading, and he probably knew which way it was going to head as well, it's really hard to get along. And by the end of that time, as soon as it happened, we were just like, thank God it's done. Like it was done, and we hugged it out, and he gave me a hug. He said, "Now, what do you want to do about your dad?" And I was like, I said, like, he goes, "Do you want me to call him?" And I was like, No, like just leave it with me. Like I reckon it's best that I tell him because, you know, I just want to let him know that it's all good. And, you know, you know, because, you know, Dad's like, I don't know if you know him, old man, but he's...
I know him.
Yeah, he's a great character. So I told him and, yeah.
And what was his reaction?
He was... I think his first reaction was like, I'm really... He thought that they'd done something bad by me, but I explained to him that it was a it was totally, you know, I'm more than happy with it. It's all good. They're going to help me because Carlton even said to me, by the way, that we're not going to delist you yet. We're actually going to keep you on our list because of the relationship I had. They said, we're going to keep you on the list and try and off trade you instead of just delisting me straight away.
Let you down softly.
Let me down softly. So I knew that I was getting delisted, but I couldn't say anything for a while. And look, AFL is pretty obvious. They knew that it was going to happen as well. So that was just sort of a gesture that they did for me to say thanks. But after that, obviously, Giants knew and they were in chatting. And then I got picked up as a
did you stitch the Giants up because you were injured?
I did.
He's done well, hasn't
he? I definitely did.
Just extraordinary done very well. Amount of research. Yeah, it's incredible. This is a new high watermark.
I'm just trying to think.
Isn't he very happy with himself?
The RoboCop cunt. He's actually gone firm.
Come on, you idiots. Shut up.
I did. When I went up there for my medical, I'd just come back from a three-week vacation in South America. And before that, a week before that, I just had my knee fixed up. I'd had some double meniscus surgery all done. So look, as you can imagine, knowing that I wasn't going to be at Carlton, I wasn't keeping myself in the best shape and I was having a good time. And I was actually riding a bike down Death Mountain, it's called, in Bolivia, 1 week after my surgery. So my knee was blown up like this.
You're your father's son.
I pretty much flew home from South America to Melbourne, then 2 days later went to Sydney to meet with Leon and Wayne Campbell, who... Well, I just say I owe them everything. They're two of my favourite people I've met in footy. And, had my medical and...
Along with Toby.
And I can't thank that medical man enough for just not doing his job.
What did he fib?
I think that, you know, I'd had a lot of surgeries. I'd had about 8 surgeries through my whole career in 6 years. So I'd had both shoulders, both ankles, Achilles, finger, wrist.
And he said you were in mint condition, didn't
and
he?
The list sort of was going on for a while and he sort of asked me how things were going and I said, yeah, pretty good. And I think they forgot to do, but they did one test on the left one and then thought that he'd done it on the right. And I said, yeah, we've done it. And
that's the end of this bloke.
Basically, the next month they picked me up and, you know, I said I'd been training and ready to go and couldn't wait to get into it. And, got picked up a month later and was in rehab for the next sort of 2 months.
So you basically defrauded the club that you're at.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. Don, have you ever cried at a football
club? I have.
When, Jeff Sandy wouldn't make you a legend or Jeff Kennedy?
No, after a final game that I thought you cried. We should have won, yep.
Did you? Wept, did you?
Mm.
What, just thinking...
Well, you played dead in your final, so you wouldn't know about emotion.
Played dead?
Well, he did, didn't he? Tom Morrow.
Yeah, he got accused of that.
That's right.
Yeah, being accused is not the same as actually... Anyhow, now Dylan, when you do your podcast,
yep,
do you deliberately steer away from controversial questions with your guests, or do you find yourself sometimes becoming intrusive with them personally or even impertinent in the name of... trying to make it interesting for people listening, because, I mean, I could say to you, would you say recreational drugs are widespread in football circles? Or would you not comment on that, or would you just give an opinion based on your knowledge one way or the other?
Yeah, it's a good topic. Look, most of the time I'm talking to athletes, so I wouldn't ask them if they're taking recreational drugs on the weekends. But in saying that as well, like, you know, I had Shane Mumford on the podcast and it was after his incident that had occurred back in wherever it was. And we talked, we openly talked about that. I said, look, Shane, something happened. Do you want to get, you know, let's talk about it, what happened? And he said, mate, you know, it's the worst thing I've ever done. I stuffed up.
Just the once? But
my kids have got to, you know, grow up with that, you know, on the internet.
And so he owned up to that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So Dylan, that's absolutely... But if that had been, would you have thought to say, how long have you been doing this and when did you start and was it a one-off or is that, would you, that's my point.
Yeah,
because
no.
Because people are interested in all that, not necessarily about Shane, but just because it's out there that people think there's quite a lot of it going on.
Yeah, I think that it's, like, my podcast isn't about, like, getting in the headline or anything like that. It's more just purely getting to know someone on a deeper level and just, like, having fun with them and giving The way I like to look at it is, if you come on my show, you're actually just giving your audience a better insight into you. Yep. There to try and get a story out of it or talk about an issue. I'm not really into that. I've never actually thought about doing it, to be honest. It's not something I'm really interested in, no.
That's the fine line. That's the fine line between actually finding out just how this, not necessarily about recreational drugs, about anything, just going a bit deeper, or just letting them say what they want to, and basically not Shane at all, but letting people off the hook. Not off the hook.
What are you saying that Dylan's doing this?
Not at all.
What are you saying?
Because we never interview people, and I'm not saying this as Dylan does this either, we never interview people on condition that we don't ask this or that. We say, no, if you agree to come on, we'll be respectful, but we might ask you things that it's up to you how you answer them. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Dylan, on Sam's point about the drugs, I'm not sure what rife means. It means there's a lot of it. Do you think that illicit drug use in football is rife?
I think in society there's obviously drugs.
Sure.
I'd be lying to say like they're not around. Like the drugs are everywhere. Footy, I don't think it's a massive problem.
You don't?
Well, like not from my experiences.
You mean that? That's truthful.
Yeah, like, I don't think that it's a massive issue. I think like you know it depends on the person, but it's what you surround yourself with. Like to be honest, what Sam said, I don't put a lot of thought into this sort of stuff, but.
I wasn't saying you don't put thought into it.
I'd say that myself. I don't in general because it's not something that I'm extremely sort of passionate about trying to find, like have a comment about.
You want to
social
profile
issues?
The person rather than the issue.
Rather than an issue. Okay.
Can I ask you, players of my generation find it difficult relating to mental illness? Players taking time off for mental illness. Is that a ruse for something else? Is there something else going on beside mental illness? And what if that's not the case, why are they, in our opinion, mentally weak, not able to handle the situation?
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from, and I think that like my opinion on that would be that mental health is something that's you can't deny that it's not a thing. I know that you might not understand that, but I think that in all sincerity, like people might understand that because luckily that you haven't had to deal with it. But I think that in AFL, like the way it is now, the pressures that go with it, and whatnot, like you can't say that guys aren't feeling the pressure of things. Is that sometimes, do they bring that pressure on themselves to feel like that? Probably, if that's what you're saying, but I'm a firm believer of you are what you think. So like if you think positively and you think positive things and you do positive things, then you're going to feel good.
So when you read about Dane Beams and Jesse Hogan, do you have a standard reaction to that, or is every case on its merits?
No, I think definitely every case is on its merits. You look at, like I saw the Jesse Hogan, which is shocking. You know, I feel for him because obviously he's been at Melbourne. He's had his injury woes, then he's moved home to Perth and he's still having a bit of injury woes, and obviously some stuff happened with his dad, I think, a couple of years back. Like, you don't know what someone's going through, and I think it's so hard to comment. Like, everyone's got a story, but you can't comment on someone else's
now,
issues.
We're speaking to Dylan Buckley, son of Jim, and before we, not that we're wrapping this up, this is my impression I've got of you. You're a young man that got sacked from two football clubs. You've decided to take the world by its throat and you've become proactive. You run a very successful podcast platform. You are now a semi-producer at a radio station, the most popular AM station in Australia called 3AW. Have you a design to be a producer, a sports producer in television, to go higher and someday run a network or run a station?
I think the administration side, probably not. I think that I'd love to do pretty much like, you know, what you've done, Sam. You've created a career in media. That would be something that I'd love to do. Is it just in footy? I don't think so. Like I have, like I said before, I'm not extremely passionate about just staying in footy. I'd love to do other things like interview other people. Have you heard of Joe Rogan?
Tonight Show.
Have you heard of Joe Rogan, the podcaster?
Absolutely.
So I'd love to do that. just interview people with interesting stories. Yeah, but I want to go on a big scale. Like,
well, there you are.
Exactly. So that's my goal. I want to become one of the biggest podcasters.
John introduced you before as Jim Buckley's son. Does that give you the shits?
It doesn't at all, because I love my dad and extremely proud of him. But I think now, you know, people say that's Dylan Buckley's dad.
I only said you're the son of Jim, because when Mick introduced at the start of it, he said it three times that you're the son of Jim Buckley.
Oh, it's an easy way. Like, I don't
three,
take any
Mick
offense.
You did. I counted them.
I don't take any offense at all.
No, I did not.
Do you want to? Were you talking about what you might aspire to? Would you like to work with, say, Gerard Healy on Sports Today? You're at that station now. Is that something that you see in the short term that you might do?
Yeah, that
because you've got cred as you've played footy, and you're an articulate man. Can I say that without patronising him?
Don? Why are you looking at me?
Well, when I said something
because
before.
Because you're the greatest critic of us all, Don. Yeah. You're always telling us what we should
anyway,
and shouldn't do.
Would you like to do Sports Today?
Well, to be honest, it's something I haven't actually thought about, but my biggest thing is I say yes to everything. So
would you like?
I think that you can't, like, I try everything once, and I'm always going to put myself out there because you never know what you're going to learn from a certain situation.
Would you like to do a panel show with Mick and me and Don as the younger brigade giving a view of how the world's treated and is going?
We're doing that now, aren't we?
Well, no, but on a
let's
on
do
a,
it
on a television forum. We could be light and shade.
Well, he's made an impression on you, hasn't he?
Well, he has. Now, have you ever been? I mean, just this is a completely. Have you ever been? I ain't ask you this. Have you ever had a sashimi? Do you know what sashimi is?
Yeah,
a sashimi
with
whale shark. If you go down to the lobster cave, Bill Ferg has got his head in a glass case down there because he's been eaten alive by most things in the water. We could take him down to the lobster cave.
I think he should go to
not for Valentine's Day because we don't love him necessarily. No, biblically, we don't.
No, we don't biblically. No,
no biblically, true. We don't. We do as an up-and-coming personality, and that's why he's here, Mick, and he's a star.
How many downloads are you getting, Dylan?
A few. We've done really well, like, this year, and hit nearly probably just about 600,000 in 12 months. So
really,
yeah,
wow.
What have we done?
What have we done, Jack? 601.
Six. Oh, wow. Fantastic! What yeah.
Have so you got any advertising on yours?
Oh, I've just starting. Just starting.
Well, you're interested in having. You're interested in quit, are you? We're doing this for love.
I'm talking to Dylan about what he does.
Yes, that's right, Don.
Not you, Robo. Have you got any advertising of any note?
I had a sponsor last year. I had Bonds. Yeah. But this year I'm just putting it out to an agency, so they'll put the advertising in there. Okay. And, yeah.
We could learn a bit off this man, couldn't we?
Exactly. That's why he's here. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll pick your brain.
We will. I can
and
teach
skin
you,
and yeah.
Well, anyhow, it's been fascinating. I'm going to be...
Well done, Mickey. We'll pat you on the back later,
you,
Mickey.
I'm going to be completely candid. Completely candid, Dylan. I'm a little bit removed from the football world because I'm not uninterested. I'm a bit disinterested. And when Mick said you were coming on, I tried to look you up and Googled you and thought you'd played 82 games for two sides, but it only turned out to be 42. So sometimes when you do not know a lot about someone, it's very refreshing, and very impressed by you. And we do thank you. Unless you've got anything else you'd like to ask Dylan Buckley, son of Jim, we start with Maxine Nightingale, and we go out with Daddy Cool doing this.
Good job, Dylan. Oh,
thanks, guys. Well. Thanks for having me.
Late at night, I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again, I'm just crazy about you, babe.